get him off the ball and you get him in the right spot, he can beat you with getting into the block and shooting that, you know, that kind of post up fadeaway. He can do that head and shoulder fake. He can still score for you, but he doesn't have to be the only facilitator. And I think the other thing is it wears him down. I think by the end of the game, if he's the only guy bringing it up and making decisions every single trip down the floor, and Taj is right, he doesn't play great defense. He's just big. But I think it really wears him down, the amount of times that he has to be responsible for getting it from, you know, north and south.
And I think it's the Harden comp you're making, where the usage rate is just so high, right? Where the ball always is in his hands. And even though they're willing passers, there's not really any flow. There's not any really rhythm to that offense. I completely agree with Taj and you, Blinkers. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right. It's the SEC heavyweight fight that everybody's been talking about today. Nick Saban throwing a blow. Jimbo Fisher throwing a haymaker in return. We get into all of it next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, let's talk a little bit about Fitz Roofing again, because they are absolutely fantastic. They take care of their people, and they always do, because of the fact that they love Houstonians, and word of mouth travels fast. It's everybody that always hits me up and goes, "What's your roofing company again?" And then after using Fitz Roofing, goes, "My God, you weren't lying." They, from the time that we started talking to them, they made sure that we had all their questions answered. They made sure they knew every way they could help. That's what Fitz does. And it starts with a free, no obligation inspection, no matter what you got going on. It could be a home repair. It could be a leaky roof or a new roof on your commercial property, your business, or your house. It could be a fence in your yard. They put one in my yard about a month and a half ago. We absolutely love it. It's because they do great work, and they check on you to make sure you are satisfied throughout the process. Check them out today. Go to FITZRoofing.com and see all the different ways they can help you, and realize they have the best warranties in the business. They have the best products in the business, and they have the best ratings in the business from Facebook and Home Advisor right down the road. They do everything for you so that you can absolutely relax knowing they've got your back 100% of the time. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. It's the good people at Fitz Roofing.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
Hey guys, BK here, and so is spring. If you're looking for the perfect beer to accompany your great times all season long, you gotta go with Altstadt Beer. It's approachable, easy to drink, and perfect for any occasion. Whether you're chilling on the patio, grilling out with friends, or hanging by the pool, there's an Altstadt Beer for you. The lager and Kolsch are perfect for the warmer weather, and the Hefeweizen is incredibly refreshing. One taste is all it takes. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities. No regrets.
After 45 years, Zadok Jewelers has finally moved to our new location, just down the street. More than a store, this is an experience. Make yourself at home in our new Cartier Salon, where Audemars Piguet and Panerai lounges. Immerse yourself in Houston-exclusive boutiques, from IWC and Jaeger-LeCoultre, to explore limited and specialty timepieces found nowhere else in Houston. Discover extensive collections from Breitling, Omega, Hublot, Tudor, and more. Family-owned and operated, Zadok Jewelers is Houston's largest watch destination. Visit our new home at Post Oak in San Felipe or at Zadok.com. Now, more than ever, there are jewelry stores and then there's Zadok's.
Wake up with The Bench, featuring John Granato and Lance Erline.
So I also figured out David Culley is Charlie. He got a golden ticket, just had to wade through a bunch of crap. Yeah. And then finally at the end, he gets everything. He's Charlie. Got the golden ticket. I got the golden ticket. Analytics and nachos, and I am a junkie. And then eventually he gets a big payday.
Right.
But not after Augustus Gloop and Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio had to do their thing.
Weekday mornings from 7 to 10 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, it's the best fight we're going to see all day. Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban going toe-to-toe. Nick Saban was at an alum event, a booster event in Birmingham. Somehow, the video got public, and he had some things to say that Jimbo Fisher didn't like a whole lot. Jimbo returned some shots. Nick tried to call. Jimbo didn't answer the call. Here's how it all started, though, thanks to AL.com. I'm curious how they obtained this video. But nonetheless, here was Nick Saban that started this whole fire.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So that was Nick Saban, the gist of the conversation. He also would go on to say how other schools, they also do this. You read about it in the paper. He mentioned Miami basketball. He mentioned Deion Sanders paying $1 million for a player as well. What were your thoughts when you heard this one first off, Blank?
Biggest takeaway right from the get-go was, you whiny little bitch, shut your mouth because of the fact that you have had it better than anybody before NIL and still after NIL. And because you finished second, just like when you get that someone just peed in my Cheerios look when you have to do an interview after you lost a playoff game or the national championship game, you'll get over this too. You know, the fact that you were still number two means what? You won't have five stars at both your starter and your first backup at every position? Like, get over yourself, Nick. The fact that you've had a dynasty going in Alabama, and let's also be clear, a friend of both of ours, Jeremy, and I verified it with him this morning after Brendan pointed it out to me on Twitter, Travis Johnson said he was offered six figures by Alabama, and they weren't the only ones. So to get over that is one thing. To get over the fact that it was publicized that the quarterback that's not even playing behind Bryce Young had already gotten over $1 million in NIL deals at Alabama. You're lying through your teeth, Nick. Just stop it already.
Yeah, see, I believe that he's lying. I don't believe that Alabama did not buy a player or two. Now, the spirit of the NIL rule is that you aren't supposed to spend money or whatever these businesses, the people who are giving the kids money, they're not supposed to give the money as a recruiting tool. Like, it's not supposed to be something to lure them to their school. It's once they're at the school, they're like, they've made their name known, and now they're capitalizing on the NIL, their name, their image, their likeness, once they've already been at the program, once they've already been to the university. I don't really view this as Nick Saban taking a shot at A&M. I know that it sounds like that because he's sitting here saying, look, A&M bought every one of their players and we finished second behind them. So it sounds whiny. It sounds complaining. It sounds like, you know, he's annoyed by what A&M's doing. But he also, the fact that he mentioned two other schools, he mentioned that this is something that's going on all around college athletics, which it is. We all know that. Yep. It doesn't, you know, an idiot knows that. But he also mentioned how we didn't buy one and we finished second, and that's going to be difficult to sustain. I don't think that was a shot to Texas A&M. I think that's why Nick Saban tried to call Jimbo Fisher, and Jimbo Fisher didn't answer the call because he's ticked off with Nick Saban. Remember, let's keep in mind the setting here. He was at a booster event in Birmingham talking to a bunch of donors, which I don't know how this video got out. I'd be ticked off if I'm Nick Saban how this video got out, because I'm trying to give a little bit of insight on my program and talk to everybody kind of in a relaxed, comfortable,
kind of like Cal did when he was at River Oaks and got caught.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Although that was kind of a racist, idiotic thing mm-hmm. to say. Nothing Nick Saban said there is untrue, though, right? Like,
yeah, but Jeremy, he called him out by name. Like, he pissed off Deion Sanders, too.
But it wasn't only A&M. It was, exactly. He made other teams mad. He was calling people out by name. And what was supposed to be a private event, it was not supposed to be public. And he's not wrong. Deion Sanders did spend some, well, it wasn't Deion specifically, but where Deion's at, they spent money to bring in those players. Miami of Florida has players entering the transfer pool saying that I need as much money as somebody else who transferred here if I'm going to come back. A&M, they have NIL deals that are there. Like, that is fact. Nothing that Nick Saban said here is incorrect. What I think that Nick Saban was doing here was not taking a shot at A&M. He was telling his boosters, who was the demographic that he was talking to last night, you guys need to spend money for us to be a dominant power in college football going forward.
And I get it, right? Because of the fact that you're right. Because it was a closed setting that wasn't supposed to be open to the media or for public consumption, that, you know, but again, when they tell you right from the jump that someone is always looking, listening, and everything you say is on the record, because people have cell phones now and people have their own agendas. And that's on him for not, you know, phrasing it differently then, because he called out specifically A&M. He called out Deion Sanders and his program. He called out programs like the University of Miami basketball team, I think, too, he called out.
Right.
Like, he actually pointed the finger. And he's the one that's going to pay the price for it, and he deserves it, because he could have said, look, across the country, basketball and football, big program and small program, there are tons of programs that are capitalizing on the NIL deals to do what they're doing. But because he did it by specifically calling out, in this case, Jimbo and A&M, if I'm Jimbo, there, you can say all you want till you're blue in the face to say you didn't mean to just single out just us, but you did. And that is what I am going to take issue with. That's why I'm coming back at you, because you know what? It looks like spilled milk, and I get it. You're trying to just get those boosters to dig a little deeper for you too. But because of the fact that it got out, you should have thought about that before you opened your mouth.
But what did he say? That was a shot at A&M that they.
It's the way he phrased it, and even the way you're kind of phrasing it is the fact that to the common fan that doesn't understand this the way we do, and college football fans do, and what NIL deals are across college sports, it sounds like you are paying your players. It sounds like just university, you know, under the table flipping you hundos instead of capitalizing on following the rules of NIL to make the most, you know, advantageous. Presentation to each available recruit, and if you get them, then you win. And it's not the right way. The system is broken. It does have to be fixed, but because most of the headlines and because of the way he phrased it, it sounds like university paid the players. It sounds like, to the common fan, like a Yahoo clickbait headline, hey, basically what Nick's saying is they're paying their players to play at A&M.
Don't you think they are? Like, not the university.
According to players that were recruited there, they've been doing it for a long time before NIL.
Exactly. So that's where I'm at. Like, Nick Saban's not saying anything that's inaccurate. When A&M had the top recruiting class on National Signing Day, and people were like, you know, bashing A&M. Like, I don't understand why Aggies are sensitive about this, to be honest with you, because it was the same conversation on National Signing Day when A&M had the number one class, and people were, you know, well, they bought it. You know, they were spending more money than everybody else. And I said, so what? It's the wild, wild west. Embrace it. This is the first time that it's now public. We all knew the under the table handshake deals were going on. We know all of that stuff in the past. Like, embrace that. Embrace that you're willing to be the New York Yankees of the SEC. Be willing
to embrace
being the big
spender of the SEC. But like Jimbo said, you're not breaking the rules. We don't break the rules at A&M. We did what we were allowed to do. Okay, well, you're seeing it different than me then, because I'm seeing Nick Saban bitching because he's not getting what everybody else is getting. I see Nick Saban pointing a finger at A&M by calling him out by name. I understand that he didn't do it in a public setting or think it was going to be made public, but it was, and someone did. But at the same time, when you look at what he's doing and the way he went about it, it's like, you know, pot calling the kettle black. How in the world have you been doing what you've been doing forever, and now because other people are doing it too, you're pissed off?
But I don't think he was – nothing in my mind – and look, I'm not a Nick Saban guy, but nothing in my mind made me hear – like, when I heard Nick Saban say that, made it sound to me that he was blaming Texas A&M for doing anything malice or wrong. I felt that he was making A&M, because they were the number one recruiting class in the country. That's a fact, that in this new generation of NIL, where the spending is crazy and it's off the rails, and it is. Nick Saban's aware of that. He's not blaming A&M for doing that. He's encouraging A&M for doing that. He is telling his boosters to pony up, that you need to be willing to spend as much as the Aggies are willing to spend. And again, if you're Texas A&M, you embrace that. You show that you're the richest university in the country. Because right now, if you can spend money to bring players in because of NILs, then you're going to have the best recruiting class across the board. You should embrace that.
We can agree to disagree then, because I think that he had a whiny baby attitude to him.
I don't disagree with that.
In the way he went about it. And most people are going to say, look, based on how you've been king of the hill for this amount of time, and whether you did this or that or the other thing, the bottom line is it's a really bad look to start pointing fingers at others when people have been pointing fingers at you for a long time. And the one thing that I will say, too, is I don't think we should expect another Aflac commercial with Dion and Nick Saban anytime soon, because Dion said he's going to actually have comments about his side of that today, and that he's really mad. And it's going to be interesting how much backlash actually comes out of this from, like you said, comments that Nick never thought were going to be made public.
If you pay Nick Saban and Deion Sanders $1 million to make an appearance together, they'll both be there. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Gary.
How you doing, fella?
What's up, man?
I can't buy that he was just speaking towards his donors, because what was the purpose of going after Jackson State? They have nowhere near the amount of money any of those other schools have in their athletic program. So it's like, are you mad because those kids that you could normally entice to come down there might go elsewhere? Because
he's raising money. He's fundraising.
Really in Alabama?
he's fundraising. That's what coaches go out and do. They're trying to get the money. Like, I mean, he's using the biggest examples of NIL deals and how money is helping universities bring players in. You're obviously going to mention the number one recruiting class in the country as NILs is helping those programs, which we all know that it is. Like, that's not a secret. It's not a surprise. It's something that we all know and should embrace. He mentioned Jackson State because that is another example of a very well-documented case in which a player went in there and got some pretty good money. And he mentioned Miami as well as another very documented recent case that is going on with NILs. He is raising funds for Alabama so Alabama can spend like A&M is spending.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? There's going to be plenty of ramifications. Dion's going to make this. There's based on his tweet, it sounds like there's a racial component that he's going to actually go at Saban for too. And like I said, it's a bad look for Saban. You got to be a lot smarter in the way you handle your business. If you didn't think anybody was going to get a hold of this, or that then you shouldn't have said it the way you did. But you set yourself up for a whole lot of criticism, and it's coming. And
but
you know what?
And I'm not mad. What is he losing here? What's he losing? Like, you're saying, like, be careful what he's saying. What is he losing? What's Saban going to lose here?
He's going to catch a whole lot of heat. Deion's going to make it. For one, Deion's going to say, and the way you look at he wrote the tweet, he's going to say that Nick is essentially saying that we can't get black players to come to traditionally black university.
I don't know if we're going to take that seriously.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm just
telling you, Nick's going to catch a whole lot of heat, and there's a whole lot of guys that aren't going to take his phone calls, and there's a whole lot of people that are going to be pointing fingers going, it's pretty, pretty poor of you to be able to say that you're criticizing others for what you've been doing forever in a day. And no matter what you were trying to do and get out of your boosters, what you really did overall at the end of the day was give yourself a really bad look for a program and a guy that certainly didn't need it based on all they've accomplished and how high they've been sitting on the horse. But whatever the case may be, you know what? He did what he did. Now he's got to lay in it. And there's going to be plenty to lay in.
Yeah, I just don't know like what he loses here. Jimbo called him a sleazeball. That's just one more person that called Nick Saban a sleazeball. We've been calling him that for years. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Lamont's on the line. We'll get to him whenever we come back. We'll get to your calls as well. We'll also hear the Jimbo Fisher reaction to what Nick Saban had to say next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about him for quite a while. You just want to win the day. You're not trying to win the Olympics. You just want to make sure that you feel better day to day and you're getting the most out of life. And you know what? Sometimes just you yourself, as you've been doing it for years, isn't enough to get the job done and have you feeling the way you want to feel. That's why Apollo Men's Health comes in. For both men and women, it starts with hormone therapy. I see all kinds of men and women in the lobby every time that I come into Apollo Men's Health, and they say, hey, thanks to you, I was made aware of Apollo Men's Health. They're making a difference, and I have more energy on a day-to-day basis. I feel great, and I appreciate you. And I said, look, appreciate Apollo, because these people care. They take care of their customers and their patients, and they make sure they address your concerns and attack your issues to make you feel better than you've maybe ever felt. Dr. O and his staff know exactly what they're doing and what needs to be done to take care of whatever you've got going on in your life. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have questions, they have answers. If you need help, they are here to give it to you. They have two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston, soon to be a third in League City. Check them out today, apollomh.com. When you do, you can set up an appointment. When you do set up that appointment, you'll find out that they'll take care of you because most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then go in there and be honest. Answer their tough questions honestly. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get your results. I appreciate them, and you will too. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Cody Stutes here for Restoration Rescue. Look up at your vent. If you can see stuff on your AC vent, you're breathing it. If you're breathing it, that's no good. Get the HVAC cleaning with Restoration Rescue. Clean out that HVAC. Get rid of the dirt, the dust, the debris, and most importantly, get the mold out of there as well. Give Restoration Rescue a call. 281-777-7872 is the number. Or hit them on the website, restorationrescue.com. That's R-E-S-Q.com. Get that HVAC cleaning done and start breathing better.
Hey everybody, John Granato here with Dr. Kane Linville from Hair Specialists Houston. Neografting, what is it? Why is it different?
Yeah, so Neograft takes the individual follicles and it moves it from the back or the sides of your scalp up to the front, restores the hairline, and you can put it in the crown of your head also. The difference is that it takes the individual follicles so you don't have a huge scar, and it takes them out much like transplanting a tree up to where you want that hair.
You want hair? I wanted hair. I've got hair. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get access. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with deals like our Silver Unlimited plan for just $45 a month and no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for $249, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hey, Dad? Cool if I change this?
They may not get each other's music, but they can both get a COVID-19 booster shot. Because the CDC recommends booster shots for people 12 years and older after completion of a primary series. Schedule an appointment as soon as you are eligible. Sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Well, let's go straight out to the HRMP listener line, talking about the big fight in the SEC between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, taking some shots at each other. We'll get to Jimbo Fisher's reaction in just a moment. Seth Greenberg's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour as well. We'll get his ideas on the whole NIL. I'm sure he was paying attention to what was going on between Jimbo and Nick Saban. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Lamont, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Lamont.
Let me start off by saying I agree with Pac-Man Joel here. And there's a term for what Nick Saban did, and you guys probably or probably not have heard of it. It's called dry snitching. It would almost be akin to all three of us going to Vegas and going to a strip bar, and Jeremy comes home in front of my wife and say, yeah, you remember you was putting money inside this woman's you-know-what? And stuff like that. Whoa, hey, man. We don't need to be talking about all this in front of everybody. And you were saying, Jeremy, how this will affect him, that he's the king of the hill. Say, man, he's acting like his stuff don't stink either. And you already got, like, Trap out there saying that they paid him and stuff like that. It's going to be some stuff that's going to come. Even though Trap, I don't think that Nick Saban was there when Trap was playing, but I still get what he's meaning, talking about the school in general, Alabama in general. But I just think that's just dry snitching to the fullest. No, I'm not really trying to say anything bad about them, but I'm just saying it anyway. And that's all I have, fellas.
No, I think you're right about the dry snitch. Like, I'm not completely making Nick Saban out to be innocent here. I think he was lying through his teeth whenever he said, we did it right. Yeah, come on, give me a break. You haven't been doing it right since you were probably at Michigan State. But that's also the nature of college football, and it's become the limelight. This is the era that we're in college sports. Like, we see, and that's what Saban alluded to. Like, Saban alluded to the fact that people were writing articles about players at Miami that are getting X amount of dollars based on wherever they're transferring to, and you had one player enter the transfer portal because he was mad at somebody that came in and got X amount of dollars from somewhere else. And he said, I need to get that much money because I'm a better player than him. You see it across the board. And Saban was pointing to different examples. And did he sound whiny? Did he sound like a crybaby? Yes. But he also emphasized the direction of where college football is going. He's trying to raise funds from his boosters so they will spend the money that Texas A&M is doing. Was he dry snitching? Yeah. But he also thought he was doing it in a private setting.
But that's on him, Jeremy. Look, I understand what you're saying. I understand the point of view that you're making. Not that I agree with it, and that's why we have this show. We can discuss it. But what I think is that whether he knew or not, he's got to be smarter than that. There's been too many you can go up and down the list of incidents where guys thought they weren't being filmed or didn't know that it was going to be made public. That's on you because everything is on public record, as I stated last segment, the way we have technology these days, and there's always someone trying to be the next version of TMZ or get their 15 seconds of fame or 15 minutes of fame. And the fact that he called them out by name puts that directly on his own shoulders. He needs to take all that smoke, and he deserves all that smoke, whether he thought it was going public or not, because he called them out by name. And I gave you an attempt at least speaking in more generalities while still making the same point to your boosters that, hey, you guys might have to step up and do more until this thing sorts itself out. If we want to go back to being the number one recruiting class in the nation year in, year out, then I need help. And there's a way to do that without doing it the way he did or thinking that he doesn't deserve to catch all the heat coming back at him, because there's going to be plenty, and it's not just going to be from the guys that he called out. Look, you best believe Lane Kiffin's coming from somewhere.
Well, Lane Kiffin was talking about how much he's enjoying watching this and how for the first time he's speechless. Like, do you think college football, like these recruits that are coming out of high school, you think they're going to stop going to Alabama?
Not completely stop, but I think that, look, I think that's part of – Jeremy, look, understand that I get what you're saying, and I know that everybody wants to play at Alabama because they know it's not just about playing at Alabama. It gives them the best chance to play on the next level, too, and get the most exposure. But this isn't going to help him to do exactly what he's trying to do by get the number one recruiting class, because Deion's going to play one angle, and in his own conference, Jimbo and others are going to play the other angle and say, look, his days should – be numbered as the number one recruiting class. He needs to realize that the things he said and the way that he was sitting high on his horse, that's not the way it's supposed to be, and that's not why NIL was created. And because NIL is hurting him, we're supposed to have sympathy for him after what he's done and what he's had at his disposal for the last 10 years. You know, miss me with all that, because there's plenty of programs that are going to use this to try and have an advantage in recruiting and get recruits from looking at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, see, I mean, I can agree with, like, the whiny, and he's not happy that he finished second behind the Aggies, but I believe he's pointing the finger to his donors and his boosters. Let's get to what Jimbo Fisher had to say, because Jimbo Fisher was hot. He was mad. He was not happy. Here was Jimbo Fisher, who called a press conference today because of what Nick Saban had to say.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right.
Look, I love the drama. I love the entertainment. I don't think that what Nick Saban said is going to make anybody think that he is shadier than he already was. I think we already reached the maximum amount of shady that one guy could get. But to what he had to say, Jimbo, Nick Saban did not say that A&M broke any rules. He wasn't taking shots at 17-year-olds. He said that A&M had the number one class because they bought players because of the current state of college football, the NIL rules. And again, I believe he was telling his donors, you got to step it up.
I agree with they got to step it up, but Jeremy, he used the phrase in terms of that's in a nutshell what's kept rubbing everybody the wrong way, and including especially a guy called out by university and Jimbo bought players. They didn't buy anybody. That's what Jimbo's trying to say too, because Jim, and you keep saying that and making that noise, but the
you
fact
don't think
is,
they did.
I think that the NIL did. I don't
exactly,
but it's against that's not
that's
against
what he's
the
saying.
Rules, but it's not against the rules. It's exactly how NIL is.
It is against the rules. You're not allowed to use an NIL as a recruiting tool to bring a player in. That is a rule. Now, is everybody breaking the rule? Yes, but it is against the rules.
Right, but Jeremy, the way the recruiting process is done, you know as well as I do that the way that it's presented to each recruit and the way the recruit signs on the dotted line, it's never officially about that. But Nick Saban's doing it too, and he's doing it, and so is everybody else. So the fact that he calls out A&M by name, when the fact is you can say, hey, man, we really want you to come here. You get to compete against Alabama where you don't know where you'd be on their depth chart, and from year to year that might change. And you can do all the whole the whole presentation to the kid that you want. But you can also say on the side, hey, and by the way, we got donors lined up that have NIL deals out the wazoo that are going to take care of our guys to make sure that you guys are taken care of throughout your playing days at College Station. Everyone's doing that, and that's not against the rules because it's not the reason why they're coming there. It's not unless the kid comes out and says, look, they offered me this under the table or whatever. So it's everybody doing it. It's just that suddenly, all of a sudden, people are doing it better than Saban, and now he's red ass trying to get his boosters to give him more because he has an ego and doesn't like being number two. I get
Is
all that.
Is that bad?
I'm not saying it's bad, Jeremy, but it's a bad look when you do it the way he did it.
Okay, yeah, all right. We can leave it at that. Seth Greenberg, he's going to be joining us next, former head coach of Virginia Tech. You know him now at College Game Day with college basketball. Very good at what he does. He's the best at what he does. He's been in the college game forever. He still works in the college game. I want to get his thoughts on Jimbo and Nick Saban. Also want to get his thoughts on the draft class coming up in the NBA. Seth Greenberg joins the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
At GiveMeTheVIN.com, America's best car buyer, business is booming. And we're currently seeking vehicle inspectors for our office in Houston. If you'd like to join one of the fastest growing auto groups in the country, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and click jobs to submit your application. And if you'd like to sell your car, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, put in your license plate number or VIN, and get the market's top dollar offer from America's best car buyer.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Get the great look you want, guaranteed. Where? At Rooster's Men's Grooming Center. It is much more than a barbershop. Book your appointment today at Rooster's Men's Grooming Center in West Chew, Cinco Ranch, Pearland, or Tanglewood.
Tune in Saturdays to hear the Whiskey Knee Podcast with Chris Hart. Each week, Chris discusses barrel-aged spirits with industry experts and celebrities. The Whiskey Knee Podcast, Saturdays on ESPN 97.5 or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of living with chronic pain, knee pain, joint pain? Well, listen carefully, because now there are new regenerative treatments available from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. We're not talking about surgery or steroids. Lance Erline here. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biological therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. If you've got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back, joint pain that won't go away, you need to check out these new treatments with astonishing patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, no surgery. Call right now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. You need to learn more about how biological therapies are changing the way we think about dealing with joint pain. It's exciting stuff. Don't wait. Call right now. QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, honey.
Hey, Mom. How did Jordan's interview go?
I'm not sure. Your brother isn't home yet. Oh, one sec. Someone's at the door.
Are you Mrs. Lewis?
Yes.
Mrs. Lewis, I'm Officer Taylor. Your son was in a crash and has died.
What?
He wasn't wearing his seatbelt and was ejected from the vehicle.
No. No.
Mom,
no.
Is everything okay? Mom, answer. Hello?
Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joining us now on the HR&P guest line, Seth Greenberg. You know him from his work at ESPN, host of College Game Day, covers college basketball better than anybody. Great coach, too, back in the day. Seth Greenberg, thanks so much for taking a few minutes joining us. As I'm sure you're very much aware, the lead story in college sports today is not on the basketball side, but Jimbo Fisher, toe-to-toe, Nick Saban. They're throwing verbal haymakers back and forth. What is your read on what's going on between the two SEC football coaches?
It's going to be an interesting media day, that's for sure. I mean, I hope they're both on the same day. I mean, maybe it's the same podium. That'd be great. You know, it's interesting. One of the things, you know, a lot of what Saban says is basically from news reports. It wasn't anything new. It was, you know, he was basically repeating the news reports. I think he was trying to send a message, quite honestly, to his boosters. I think it's a booster function that, you know, maybe we have to get into the game a little bit. And then Jimbo's, you know, deal was, you know, basically a rebuttal. I mean, I don't that doesn't move me at all, because here's the deal. I mean, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot being talked about in terms of, you know, using NIL, not as NIL, but pay for play. Some schools are doing it. It's been reported throughout the country. A lot of different schools have gotten boosters involved and created these collectives and cut deals. So NIL is one thing. Pay for play is another. NIL has turned into pay for play. And, you know, Coach Saban had his opinion on it and sending a message to his boosters. Maybe we got to get in the game. And then obviously Jimbo had his rebuttal, which is fine. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. But I have no problem with paying players that have been in your program and helping them obviously secure deals. Like, using enticements to get a guy to come to your school, I don't know. I just, you know, I think once a guy gets there, you know, obviously if the camps are owned by the players, or if there are local NIL deals, that's great. I'm all for players getting whatever they can get. But to be the main reason to have a business decision, it's a business decision. This is why I'm going to school X. You know, there's a lot more things in the business decision. Are you going to get better? Are you going to get an education? Is the coach going to coach you? Are they going to demand that, you know, there's a, you know, a certain way that you have to, you know, do certain things? So it is what it is. It's good entertainment. You guys need a couple more things to talk about. You got the NBA playoffs. You got hockey going on. You got, you know, PGA Championship. You guys need one more thing to talk about.
Well, Coach, you do too, because I know you've been passionate about college sports as it relates to Jay Wright and this NIL and the fact that this whole system was put in play just to try and help make, you know, make it better for players that decide to go to school. And by the way, I will say I'm a big fan of the whole family. I worked with your brother Brad in Portland when I got started in the business and could not speak highly enough of him and a fan of your work. But as it relates to the NIL in specifics, whether it's football or basketball, obviously the NCAA was finally trying to address, you know, the elephant in the room, that they were raking in all the cash and these kids weren't profiting. But now it seems like it's going to be more of a detriment than it is good if this kind of thing continues to happen across their major sports.
Well, you put the NIL with the transfer portal, and it's basically the NIL on steroids, and it moves from the NIL to basically pay for play. You saw what happened in Miami with Nigel Pack, who left Kansas State, and then, you know, he gets from this booster, he gets $400,000 a year in a car, and then Isaiah Wong was already in school there, got a $100,000 deal with the same guy, and Isaiah Wong was threatened to leave. So, I mean, like, when it becomes, like, NIL is name, image, and likeness. What's going on right now isn't name, image, and likeness. It's pay for play. Now, look, if that's what you want to do, I have no problem with it. But let's not fool ourselves. It's not NIL. It's just a group of boosters getting together and trying to own their team and own their program by putting money together and then basically going out and trying to sign and hire the best players. The amazing thing is I talk to coaches all over the country. When they meet with a prospect right now, all right, what do you think? It used to be education, style of play, opportunity, system. You know, you go through the whole thing. You know, postgraduate, you know, network, people you can meet, player, you know, players that have played in the NBA. But all the parents, they bypassed all that now. Like, parents don't want to hear about academics anymore. Here's the sad thing about it. You got 260 kids in right now that are kept their names in the NBA draft. 60 people, players are going to get drafted. 20 of them are going to be international players. 40 kids are going to get drafted. So now you got another 200 players that are going to be looking to try to get into the G League. Right? And look, there's some great stories. Gabe Vincent's a great story. My guy Dorian Finney-Smith's a great story. All those things are great stories. I'll tell you one thing. Tenfold, there are a lot of bad stories. And people that say, oh, well, he's just going to go to Europe. No, he's not going to just go to Europe. My brother's coaching Europe forever. Europe is drying up. You better be really good, because if you don't play well in Europe, they just send you home. If you don't help them win, they just send you home. And by the way, they send you home without a paycheck. So, Seth, like, I just think the problem to me is the parents have bypassed the object of education. We have downgraded what education is all about. We don't even, you know, like we don't even talk about building a bridge to cross so that when the ball stops bouncing, you actually have a chance to be a good husband and a father and provide for your family. That's not even talked about yet. Most of those people that are going to be, you know, players that are going to be graduating or that's what they're going to end up being. They're not going to end up being NBA players.
Seth Greenberg joining us on the HRMP guest line, ESPN college basketball analyst. You can follow him at Seth on Hoops on Twitter. Speaking of the NBA draft, our city very much looking forward to the NBA draft, getting the third spot in the draft coming up in the draft lottery that happened the other day. Looking at the top of this draft, what are some names that you like? What's the Greenberg big board if you have one already?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, where you guys are at, I think you're at 3, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's either going to be my gut feeling is Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, or Jaden Ivey or Holmgren, and you know, I would think that if Banchero drops to 3, you get a 6'10" guy to complement Jalen Green. You get a guy that who's versatile, not a great shooter, but a good enough shooter. Very good floor game for a big, very good passer. At times, he disappeared some. If it's Jaden Ivey, it's a dynamic guy. I'm not sure how he would work with Green. They're a little bit too much alike, in my opinion. But both would be a dynamic athletic backcourt. There's no doubt about it. If it's Jabari Smith, I think he'd be a great compliment for the guys you have. Jabari Smith is he's not Kevin Durant, but he can shoot it. He can put it on the floor. Terrific passer, good athleticism, good length, very good defender. I would think one of those 4 guys would be in the mix. Keegan Murray, could he slide up from Iowa? Could, a little bit more mature, really versatile, can really pass, can really shoot, very, very good defender, great positional length, kind of built for the new NBA. So those are, to me, the top guys.
Seth, when you look at that and you say the top guys, and obviously picking at 3, you basically, because they need a big or they need a versatile big,
right.
One of those 3 guys is going to fall into their lap. You didn't talk a lot about Chet as it relates to, right. I'm looking for the best fit for the Rockets too, but is Chet even going to be there, and how do you see his game? Because he obviously has to put on weight and he's got to get stronger. How is his game going to translate to the NBA, and how much of a project is he going to be while he does those things?
Yeah, I mean, I'd mention Chet because everyone has, you know, our people have him as number one. I mean, look, he's got a 7'7" wingspan. He's 7-footer with very good handles, shoot it. I don't lose my mind over 7-footers that can shoot 3s because, you know what? Yeah, he can shoot. And I love how he said, I'm going to be a 90-50-40 guy. That sounds good. It's a great sound bite. But, dude, you're not going to be a 90-50-40 guy. All right? And how many guys have been 90-50-40 in the history of the league?
Well,
so, I mean, you know, I mean, he's a prospect. I'm not as high on him as other people. I know Mike Schmidt absolutely loves him. Can he grab a defensive rebound and bust it up the floor and put it behind his back and finish at the rim? Yeah, he can do that. But, you know, that's great. That might be okay in the regular season. But when you watch these playoffs,
yeah,
they're going to crack him in half.
Well, and Seth, that's what my point is, too, is it looks like, you know, people are so – they already think that of the 3, Banchero might be 3 because he doesn't have the highest ceiling, because he's already more polished and showing what he could truly be. But at least he's strong, and, you know, he can put on weight, and he can put on muscle, and he can put it on the floor, and he can face the basket and shoot. And a lot of times, I think people and GMs get so enamored with what the potential could be that they don't realize what's sitting in front of you is a guy that might be already good enough for what you need.
Yeah, like Paolo, he's not a great shooter. He's a good shooter. He's a very, very good passer. not a committed defender. I mean, that is a concern. He was not a committed defender this year. He had the season a little bit better. Really good driving and spinning and finishing with either hand. At times he disappeared, and I think part of that was how Duke used him. I mean, Duke didn't play specifically through him. They had so many different guys. The ball might get stuck in Trevor Keel's hand. It might get stuck in A.J. Griffin's hand. It might get stuck in Wendell Moore's hand. I would like to see them. I would like to say at the end of the last 5 minutes of the game, he's getting a touch every single possession. I'd like to see what he would then go do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got it. This big look. He's 6'10", 250. He's got handles. He can shoot it. He's really, really good getting angles, driving the ball from whether it's the elbow or the wing. He'd be a great player and a great fit for what you guys are building with, you know, a young core.
Yeah, my comp was Julius Randle because he came in kind of polished too. That's not a bad thing for a Rockets team that already has Jalen Green and some of the young pieces that they have.
Yeah, different than Randle, because Randle's so left-handed dominant that he, at times, he's, especially in playoff time, I think he's an easier defend. Powell can go either way with it. Now, you know, I'm interested to see, and he's got to get in world-class shape. And again, you know, people are going to work him out. And I'm not one of those guys, guy comes in and works, oh, man, he had a great workout. I mean, you have a body of work. You are who your body of work says you are. You know, so, like, he's got a body of work. He's got great hands. He's, like I said, he's a terrific passer. Not a great defender. Can make shots. I wouldn't call him a great shooter, but does have a little bit of middle game. And has different ways to get angles and score around the basket. So, I mean, I think he'd be a really good player. But I saw, you know, again, if Jabari Smith's around, he would be really terrific because he can really defend. He's a terrific passer. He can shoot comfortably to the NBA three-point line and space the court. Got to play a little bit lower as he attacks the rim. Active defender. I think his upside is incredible because, you know, you're talking about a 19-year-old with a live body and a great enthusiasm about him.
Seth, always appreciate the time. Really enjoy your work and hope to catch up again down the road.
Thanks, guys. Good luck in the draft.
All right, thank you. Seth Greenberg, who college basketball analyst for ESPN, does a great job, College Game Day as well. Coming up next, I want to see if what he had to say changed your opinion, Blankers, at all about the NBA draft where the Houston Rockets are at, your opinion with Chet. I thought what Kevin McHale said earlier about Chet was interesting as well. Also, what Seth Greenberg had to say about the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher thing I thought was very interesting as well. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here. If you've ever wanted to turn your house into a home, now is the time. Texas Custom Patios can help do it. They did that for me. They took an outdoor living space that I frankly couldn't see in my dreary backyard and turned it into an oasis. The work that they do is incredible. Make sure that you check out my backyard before and after at tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. The work is incredible and it adds value and livability to your home. Once again, go to tcplance.com.
Finding the right lawyer is crucial. That's why calling the Morley Law Firm should be your first choice. The experienced Morley Law Firm team can assist you with DWI, criminal cases, auto accident injuries, or divorce matters. They can also help with medical malpractice and immigration problems. Don't waste time calling around for a Houston lawyer. Call the Morley Law Firm at 713-839-9955. That's 713-839-9955. Or visit themorleylawfirm.com and let the Morley Law Firm team guide you through your legal problems. Se habla español.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-204-9400. 800-204-9400. That's 800-204-9400.
Turn down for what?
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Seth Greenberg was great. I knew he would be. Good get by Brandon. Brandon Backe is going to be in studio later with the Wheelhouse at 4:15. So you won't want to miss that as well. Like probably the 7th or 8th Killer Bee in the city of Houston behind Blankers and Branham. Seth Greenberg, what he had to say about the draft prospects coming up. What were some of the takeaways you had from what he had to say? Does it change at all your mind on what your current blank big board is?
Look, I think he actually verified without saying it exactly what you and I have been saying all along. If you had the number one pick, Jabari Smith's the best player in the draft, and that's for what he brings to the table now and what he could turn out to be when all is said and done. And that's all I needed to hear, because now I know I'm not crazy and you're not crazy, and you know, and our, you know, love of the game and ability to kind of break it down was on full display. Because as much as that's what kind of what I was talking about too, in terms of even the Chet factor and how he went down the line with each guy, if you're the Rockets, there are three picks and you should be happy if you get any one of the three. But if you have the ability to have a choice so you can get one more tailor-made to who you have on your roster, where you currently are in your rebuild, and what you're trying to do, it would be the most advantageous situation. So I really believe all along that it's been, you know, it really depends on who's making the pick, like in terms of the team and what they currently, where they currently are in their history, in terms of, are they in a rebuild? Are they, you know, just trying to add a player or two? And I think from a Rockets perspective, that's a factor that has to be considered, not just, oh, we're just going to get whoever's left of the three and still be okay.
Yeah. But that's what you're stuck with, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be stuck with that.
Well, you
spot.
Can try and trade up.
Do you think that's likely, though?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either, because I think you even believe this. I don't think that you think there's a huge gap between one and three. Like, if we're taking a look at the big three between Jabari, between Paulo, between Chet, I agree that Parker's would be my number one guy, that I like him. I like Jabari more than everybody else.
Right, Smith, not Parker.
Jabari Smith, not Jabari Parker. That I don't think that there's a big enough gap there to where you're going to be willing to throw in like another first round pick. Like, I don't think you're going to package 3 and 17 to move.
And you're
up
not in
one.
A position to do that. It would be different if you had made a trade previously that ended up throwing you into this top three scenario, and you don't need another first round pick to add another quality player. You just need one big piece that could help you. It'd be different. But because you're still, as much as you've made advancements with the guys on your roster, you're still in the middle of the start of a rebuild. You can't afford to give up a player that can help you like the number 17 pick can.
No. What I thought was interesting, too, is when we had Coach McHale on earlier, Kevin McHale, Basketball Hall of Famer, you can listen to the interview, ESPN975.com. He was pretty high on Chet. He was higher on Chet than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think because of skill set, because a lot of people think that, you know, as much as you can't teach the God-given ability of have the wingspan and the height that he has, the fact that he can put it on the floor and he can shoot it. But as you and I said, I think where that is a detriment is you can do those things on the college level because you are literally head and shoulders above most. When you're playing against guys that are, you know, the finest athletic basketball players on the planet, and everybody has some kind of a wingspan playing the 3-4-5, and most people have size too. It's then what can you do? Can you blow the doors off of somebody? Can you beat your man off the dribble? Can you Are you nimble enough and quick enough to be able to pull back and step back against guys like-sized? That's where he's going to face the biggest challenge. So as much as I hear you saying there's not that much difference between the top three, I think there's also very specific differences, as we've highlighted, with all three. You're going to have to be patient with a guy like Chet, and it's going to take multiple years before you really truly see what he can be. Powell is closer to being who he can be on the NBA level, and if he can continue to still get stronger and a better shooter, as Seth said, then he still has plenty of upside for you, but he can also contribute right now. And then Jabari Smith's the wild card. He's the most athletic. He's the smoothest. He's the most, you know, he's got a ton of God-given abilities as well. He can shoot it really well. And there's no ceiling as to how good he can be. It's unfair for me, Jeremy, to say that Chet is being compared to Kevin Durant. But of the three, the closest to a Kevin Durant-type game is Jabari Smith.
I'll be honest with you, though. I don't think anybody's really comparing Chet to Kevin Durant nowadays. The only time I hear Chet and Kevin Durant mentioned in the same sentence is when people say it's unfair to compare Chet to Kevin Durant.
I hope so. I hope you're right. Because you know a lot of people said it coming out of the gate.
Yeah, whenever like he was like a year ago, right? Like last summer.
Well, even start of the season. Comp.
Yeah, I mean, there was like I saw one comp ever that compared Chet to Kevin Durant, and I think people have ran and made fun of that comparison because it's not a fair comparison, but I haven't seen anybody recently that's making a comp with these draft prospects with actual NBA players. I haven't not seen one that's worth its weight in whatever compare Chet to Kevin Durant. The only time I hear Chet and Kevin Durant mentioned in the same sentence is people are saying, Chet and Kevin Durant's not a fair comparison. I agree, but no one's making that comparison anymore.
Okay. Well, I mean, we both heard it. It was being made. And to me, of the three, especially from a fluidity standpoint and a quickness standpoint, if you're going to make that comparison with anybody, that's why, you know, if a guy like Jabari Smith goes to OKC, that's a game changer for the city because that's a team that could be moving if they don't somehow, out of all these first-round draft picks, find someone they can hang their hat on and market and get the fans to be excited about and start building a real team again, because it's such a minute, small market compared to any other team in the league. And that's something that they need. They need a guy that they can really, you know, put the entire city on his shoulders because of the fact that you can keep adding these pieces that no one knows about. Even a Shane Gilgeous-Alexander is a good player in the NBA. Is he worth max money? And is he a guy that could be a franchise-type player? I don't think anybody outside OKC thinks that. They couldn't afford to let him go. They need a big-time superstar-type prospect, and hopefully they'll get one in the draft.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. How about what you thought what Seth had to say about the Saban-Jimbo thing? It seemed like he pretty much agreed what I had to say.
I don't know that anyone agrees with what you had
I think
to say.
He did.
But, I mean, he did bring up some of your points. I think the bigger thing is Seth has been extremely passionate about the combination of the transfer portal and NIL, if you follow him at all on ESPN. He is great at what he does, and it was a phenomenal get by Brendan. When he gets into it, and he really wants to get into it, like, he has committed and tried to get other people to commit to it, too, to get ESPN to do an actual, like, big-time hour-long show on this topic or more, because it deserves all of that, because he's that concerned about what it means for college athletics and how big of a detriment it can be in combination. And that's why it was great to hear him say it on the air. I think that Seth understands the game, having been, and a lot of people just see him on TV and don't realize how long he was a big-time Division I basketball coach. His last stint was at Virginia Tech. But he knows what's going on. And he knows more than any of us do in terms of Jay Wright or other coaches' concerns or how this is affecting negatively the games themselves. And it's great to hear from him, because something's got to be done, or it is really truly going to be a crap show as it goes forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where it's at. I mean, I think we can, you know, disagree on the message that Nick Saban was trying to say and the way he said it. I don't disagree that Nick Saban came off whiny. I don't disagree that Nick Saban's slimy. I don't disagree that he was lying. Like, the fact that he said that A&M was paying for players, like, I don't disagree with that. But then he said that they haven't. Like, and we know that that's not the case. We know that he talked about Bryce Young before ever playing a snap, making a seven-figure deal. Mike Rodak also tweeted out, Nick Saban says 25 players on Alabama last season earned NIL revenue totaling $3 million and did it the right way. So, like, what Nick Saban says is very – it's hypocritical. I think there's a whole lot of lying there as well. But to me, it just wasn't insulting to A&M, as a lot of A&M people are making it out to believe. I think it was more about this is the current state of affairs in college athletics, and Seth mentioned a lot of the points that Nick Saban mentioned that illustrate that and have been documented, have been reported. Like, that is the documented truth.
Well, I mean, look, I don't want to dig it up again. I'd love to hear what the people think as well, because of the fact that my biggest issue coming off of our discussion is the fact that Nick Saban should have been smarter. He should have been, and whether he had, you know, he's got SIDs and or, you know, communications people from Alabama that are supposed to be with him at all times. But the fact that you just got to realize you're always on, and you're always, there's always a chance that, and I literally, this is, but from a different topic perspective, this is how Cal got caught with the, with his comments off at River Oaks Country Club. Like, you just have to be smarter than that. And it doesn't matter. And you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, Jimbo, look, that wasn't supposed to be public. Because it's truly how you feel. And you're showing your true colors. And you're pointing the finger directly at them, whether you say you weren't or not, or whether it should have been public or not. It was. And so you have to deal with it.
I don't know if he was wrong, though. 713-780-ESPN.
You always do that. You always throw that last little parting shot.
Well, I don't. I was trying to go. I wasn't last. I was trying to get to Blair, actually.
Okay, fine.
Let's go to Blair out on the HR&P listener line. Blair, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead, Blair.
What's going on, guys? Love the show. So, first of all, I'm not going to subscribe to, like, Bad Take Boulevard and, like, how you only have bad takes, Jeremy. Like, I definitely appreciate all points of view, both of you guys. I like, you know, the devil advocate of approaching it from every angle. But I got to disagree with you on one thing here, man. Like, I do truly believe he was catering to those boosters in fundraising. Totally agree with that. But when you say they bought all their players, and then one of the next things out of your mouth is we did it the right way, that is 1,000% implying that someone did it the wrong way, in this case, A&M. So I do believe that was a shot. Whether he meant to do it or not, that's how it came out of his mouth, and that's where I agree with Joel, is the wording. You can't follow it up with, you paid all your players, and then we did it the right way. That's basically implying that you did it the wrong way. So I do think that was a bit of a shot. But to agree with you, man, I totally do agree he was catering to the fundraisers, but that was 100% a shot. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
No, I don't think – whenever we first brought that up, I even said that's where Nick Saban's lying. Like, whenever we brought that up, that's a point where Nick Saban – it's hard to take him for what he is saying, because at that point, he is lying. There's well-documented proof, too, that Alabama players have made tons of money with NIL deals, as they should, that Bryce Young made a lot of money on an NIL deal before he played it down, as he should. I'm not blaming A&M if they spent money to bring in this recruiting class, because it's the Wild Wild West, and you should do that. You should embrace it. But Nick Saban was lying there, and that's something I said from the very beginning.
Yeah, but it's also the wording, Jeremy. You just did it, too. It's the whole phrasing that you use. A&M didn't do it. It's the sponsors that are putting the NIL deals together, because that, you're right, that would be illegal if A&M did it. And wording it like that gives you the idea that A&M did it. But just because A&M has a bunch of businesses lined up that are ready to support their athletics and do it a different way than just buying a suite or a sign at a game, then I think that it is. It's semantics, but it's also it's the way it's interpreted, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is I'm taking exception to the way it's been interpreted. And it is semantics, you're right. So what are you supposed to say, though? Like, we all agree that A&M donors and boosters and all of that spent the money to do that. But, like, what are you supposed to say? That A&M, instead of saying A&M, you're supposed to say A&M donors and boosters?
I think that, you can just, there's a different way to phrase it. And we can get it in the last hour. We got to get to a break. But yeah, there's definitely a different way that it should have been phrased.
713-780-ESP if you want to get in on this. 713-780-3776. We can continue the conversation. Also, when we come back, take a look at some of the NFL happenings around the league as well. And Davis Mills, what have the Texans done to help him out? The running game, the receiving game? Which one of the two is more of a strength? Next, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Got chronic joint pain? not having success with steroids, but trying to avoid surgery? Well, thankfully, there's a better way, and it's now available right here from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. Lance Zierlein here. I'm talking about new therapies, advanced all-natural regenerative treatments that not only give you relief, but also can restore and repair damaged tissue for long-lasting relief. If you've got joint pain due to arthritis, knee pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, don't just think the old ways of dealing with these pains are the only ways. You need to learn more about these new biological therapy solutions. Call now for a free consultation, QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285. These remarkable new treatments increase mobility, decrease pain, and help restore tissue. They actually encourage your body to heal itself. Call now and learn more about